Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1311, we feature two stories by new Life Rattle writer Jean Chung. Jean Chung was born in Thunder Bay, Ontario, to Korean immigrant parents who taught her the value of hard work. By 14, her resume consisted of working at her parents' convenience store, making French fries at a chip wagon, and selling flowers door to door. As a Toronto high school English teacher, Jean encourages students to use narrative to help construct their knowledge of the world around them, their understanding of themselves, and their relationships with others. Through her writing, Jean Chung explores what it means to hold on and to let go, and what comes in between. Jean Chung writes prose with subtle efficiency. With deceptively simple language, she presents a finely tuned narrative. Through almost imperceptible means, she conveys an expansive picture layered in nuance. The stories you will hear tonight were included under the pen name Jean Yu in There's Going to Be Trouble, an anthology published at the end of 2013. These stories, written from the viewpoint of an adolescent girl, chronicle early experiences in the workplace. In tonight's first story, our narrator's relationship with her employer shifts as he displays a discomforting interest in her physical development. Let's listen now as Jean Chung reads her story, The Chip Truck, on Life Rattle, the story show.
The Chip Truck by Jean Chung. I place a dusty brown potato onto the metal grid of the fry cutter and push down the lever with both hands. Long, fleshy fingers emerge at the bottom and heap onto the tray. I count 6 more potatoes until there are enough fries to fill a basket. My cheeks warm as the oil spits, groans, and gurgles. It's a busy day at Fred's Trip Truck, the start of the Labor Day weekend. Drivers line up their cars to fill up at my mom and dad's gas station. They gaze at the chip wagon as they pump gas, drawn by the smell of burgers. I'll have a kid's hot dog, large fries, 3 cheeseburgers, and 2 medium Cokes. The woman's face at the window gives me a stiff smile, then she turns her head down and hisses, "Don't you want a hot dog?" I lean over and peer down. A little boy wearing a green Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt wrestles to pry his fingers from his mother's grip. "Hey, you," I say. The boy looks up at me and frowns. I cross my eyes and cover all but my 2 front teeth with my fingers and grin. He giggles. I turn and repeat the order to Fred. He reminds me of a red-haired Santa Claus with greasy clothes. I think it's funny how he pats his big belly when he talks. He always seems so jolly. "Coming right up, kiddo." Fred lifts his trucker's hat, wipes the sweat from his forehead with his arm. My brother and I were excited when Fred opened his chip truck last summer in the lot of the gas station my parents owned, adjacent to a convenience store and a Chinese restaurant. Other than exploring the field out back, my brother and I struggled to find things to do during the day. Then we started hanging around the chip wagon. We showed Fred the things we caught, like the bumpy, warty, brown toad that hopped in a glass jar. He gave us a free plate of fries when there were just 3 of us. This summer, my brother spends most of his time playing the video game Zelda with the kid across the street. I rarely get to play. But I don't care, because I think making some elf boy sword fight is boring anyway. So I was happy when my mom asked if I wanted to work at the chip wagon. Fred needs the extra help. I enjoy the work. I like the routine of preparing and setting everything up before we open, like filling up the ketchup bottles and slicing tomatoes and onions. I especially love trying Fred's special off-the-menu dishes when we close. Today he made green peppers stuffed with warm rice, mushrooms, and tomato sauce. I watch as Fred's heaping spoon disappears into his orange beard. A cool breeze comes in the open door. He takes a long gulp from a can of Budweiser. I sip from a cup of lemonade. He lets out a burp, wipes his beard, and pats his belly. "So, you're starting school soon, huh, kiddo?" He squints at me. "Yeah, grade 6. I have all my school stuff already. I got a whole bunch of markers that smell like fruit, and..." My voice trails off when I see Fred isn't looking at my face. I catch the direction of his gaze. My face burns. I hunch my back to make the front of my t-shirt sag. I've worn overalls since I started developing this year, and I regret not wearing them today. Fred slurps from the Budweiser can again and slurs. "It's another new year for you. You're growing up, kiddo." His fat fingers squeeze my thigh. He leans over, and I can smell his beer and tomato sauce breath. I jerk out of my seat. I pretend to sound cheerful and childish. "Yes, it's going to be totally cool this year. Me and Francis are going to try out for the talent show this year," I babble. "It's going to be totally cool. Oh man, I'm so full. I think my dad's back now. Thanks so much. I'll see you around." I lurch toward the back of the door of the truck, stumble, and recoil when my leg brushes against Fred's greasy, hairy knee. Fred waves, mutters, and swigs some more Bud. I race to the gas station and stop at the pumps. The gas fumes burn my eyes. Tears drip down my face. I wipe them with onion-drenched fingers and scan for Mom or Dad's face. My dad helps a man paying at the window. A little girl with curly brown hair presses her face against the window in the back of a station wagon. She flashes a toothy grin and smushes her nose up against the glass to look like a pig's snout. I wish I could be a kid again.
That was The Chip Truck, written and read by Jean Chung. Tonight's second story follows our narrator through a day of selling flowers door to door. As her story unfolds, we grow to understand the financial circumstances of this young woman's family, and that the cash she brings home at the end of the day provides more than pocket money. Let's listen now as Jean Chung reads her story, Flower Girl, tonight on Life Rattle.
Flower Girl by Jean Chung. I hunch on the curb outside the 7-Eleven. My brother plays a video game Street Fighter inside. We're waiting for the rest of the crew to arrive. I rifle through my backpack and pull out the geography homework I stuffed in before I rushed out of the house for the pickup. I start labeling the map with the names of provinces and their capitals. Grade 9 is quite the snooze. A blue Honda Civic hatchback rattles into the parking lot. The driver, a large woman with thin blonde hair, jerks the car to a stop at the side of the lot. Jackson, her husband, pecks her on the cheek and climbs out. His dark skin and fashionable attire clash with her pale face and ratty clothes. The oldest in our crew, Jackson ambles over and stares at the pavement. I think he feels self-conscious about his wife. He's never introduced us. "Hey, girl, what's up? Your dumbass brother not coming today?" "Oh, he's here, inside." I point towards the video machine inside the 7-Eleven. Trying to beat the highest score again. My brother and Jackson always seem to squabble. The rest of the crew loves him, but my brother calls Jackson a phony. "Did you work on Saturday?" Jackson asks. He works almost every day, even on Sundays when my brother and I have to attend church with my parents. I couldn't make it in. Yeah, I worked, I tell him. We went to Niagara on Saturday and I sold out. Jackson swats me with a high five. I grin. Selling flowers on the weekends runs smoothly when people are in a good mood. Days like today, Monday, I have to work harder because people grumble about having to go back to work. Piggy rushes around the corner, stops in front of us, and wheels into his inhaler. The name suits him. Piggy squints through thick glasses, sticks out his round belly, and scratches his bristly brown hair. I imagine him rolling around a pig pen in his dirty, crumpled Pittsburgh Penguins jacket. Jackson steps back. Phew, buddy, you smell even more than usual today. Piggy grins. Grime smudges his cheeks. He tucks his inhaler into his pocket. He slurps his Coke and belches. The red van screeches into the parking lot and the horn beeps. I tap on the glass of the 7-Eleven. My brother jerks his head up, pounds a few buttons, then dashes out to join us. Andy's behind the wheel today. He's my favorite driver. Andy always makes sure that the prime spots are given to those who deserve it, whether it's from selling out the previous night or making it out every day of the week. His familiar long black curls fall perfectly, but today Andy's blue eyes are brimmed red. Hop in, guys. Let's make some money this Monday. Andy always peps us up before we sell. Where are we going today? Piggy asks. Fresh territory. Oakville. It's been a while since we've hit there. We groan. Oakville is filled with rich people, and we know that the rich are tight with their cash. Don't worry, guys. I know the primo areas. All right, get in. Time is money, folks. We drive up Hamilton Mountain for our last pickup. The water in the buckets in the back of the van sloshes at every turn. I search for my house at the bottom of the mountain, but the smoke from the steel mills clouds the view. Jimbo and Spanky finish their smoke and step up to the van. The crew gives them space. The two grew up together. Jimbo stands tall and beefy with long, greasy, dark brown hair. Spanky hunches short and chubby with slicked back, dirty blonde hair. They supply the crew with drugs. Spanky slides in and burps a long, low note. Jimbo jabs Piggy in his gut and plops down beside Spanky. Ow, Piggy sniffs. How you feeling today, man? Jimbo turns to Andy. What did you think of those broads last night? Andy sneers through the rear view window. Shut your trap, man. We got virgin ears in here. The guys all chuckle. Spanky rolls a joint while Andy weaves and speeds through the highway traffic towards Oakville. On Mondays, we avoid the beer and liquor stores because business is slow. Piggy takes Zellers, Jimbo lands No Frills, and the rest of us get houses, townhouses, and apartments. I don't mind because I sold out at townhouses on the weekend. Andy lets me out at a corner, pulls out a bucket of pink, yellow, and red carnations, and plucks out a few dead leaves. I'll pick you up at 8:30. Rock it. I march directly to my first door. I ring the bell. A skinny older woman opens the inside door. She's dressed in a cream-colored blouse and a black pencil skirt and wears a strand of pearls. She purses her lips as she stares at me through the screen. Hi, my name is Jean, and I'm selling flowers for underprivileged children. One bouquet for $3 or two for $5. She grimaces. I stop speaking. The door clicks shut. I walk to the next house. A young guy with a goatee comes out, with a beer in hand. Loud music plays in the background. He buys two bouquets. 38 more to go. It's 8:30 and dark, but I find my corner. I turn over the empty bucket and perch on it. I sold 10 bouquets to a group of mechanics at an auto repair shop. I think I convinced them with my spiel about underprivileged kids. I wonder if I'll be able to hit my target of $1,000 this month. I was close last month when I reached 800. My brother usually makes about 600, but he pockets some of it before giving it to our parents. My parents fight a lot about everything. We lived in Burlington last year, where people landscape their front lawns. We moved to Hamilton after my parents went bankrupt, and here people drink beer on their front porches. I hope that reaching my target will give my parents something to smile about. The red van slows. Andy honks 8 times. He tousles my hair and slaps me a high five. He takes his cash and tosses the bucket into the back. You're a superstar! I climb into the van and listen to everyone's accounts. Jackson, Piggy, and I sold the most. Piggy munches on a green pepper and anchovy pizza slice. Jackson celebrates by singing Boys to Men's End of the Road on our ride home. His voice is velvety smooth. My brother squirms and rolls his eyes. My brother and I hike through North Hamilton streets to our home. The windows of the broken-down houses reflect smoke plumes from the steel mills. We shuffle in the door and catch Dad resting at the kitchen table. He looks tired, but he always looks tired, even though he hasn't worked in over a year. We hand him our cash, and he marks down our earnings in his black leather book. You did well today. I smile. Dad stares at me, rubs his temples, and turns back to writing in his book.
That was Flower Girl, written and read by Jean Chung. This concludes Life Rattle number 1311. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Jean reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for more new stories.